I guess you know also that Zimbabwe has a lot of artists who are doing very well internationally. But at home, it doesn't reflect. So that's what started the idea. I wanted this artistic excellence to be seen in Harare, to be felt in Zimbabwe, to leave an impact to Zimbabwean people.
Hi there, and welcome to The Frame, Conversations with Ian the Fine Art. This podcast is dedicated to diving into the stories of influential and trailblazing artists and key actors of the art world. The Frame focuses on the background and careers of the individuals who are disrupting the contemporary art world, with a special focus on art from Africa and its diaspora. Now you'll be joined by your host, Sandra Ndache Ngedzwa. Enjoy the show.
So today we're very excited to welcome our special guest for today's episode, Moffat Takaliwa. He is a leading figure within the post-independence generation of contemporary artists in Zimbabwe and has exhibited extensively across major institutions in Zimbabwe as well as internationally. Moffat is also the co-founder of Mbara Art Space in Harare. His recent exhibitions include This Is Not Africa and Learn What You Have Learned in Denmark. And Mr. Foreman, You Have Destroyed the Farm in Paris, and also Witchcraft, Rethinking Power at the Craft Contemporary in Los Angeles. So welcome, Moffat, and thank you for joining us today.
Thank you very much, and I'm happy to be on this platform.
Yeah, thank you so much. So, okay, so to kick things off, can you tell us a little bit about yourself?
As you have rightly introduced me, my name is Moffat Takaliwa, and I was born in a small place called Karoi in 1983. And I had always loved to be an artist, so I didn't know what it means to be an artist. So the hobby carried me up to a time when I went to college. It's a very polytechnic college, and I studied fine arts there. In the year 2006. And from there, I've been practicing as an artist. I think in short, that's me, and I've always been stuck in this thing called art.
Oh, wow, that's amazing. So, I mean, you've already gotten into what I was going to ask you in the second question. So what was your first experience with art? What was like the moment where you had exposure to art and you were like, oh my God, I like art. I want to be an artist.
I believe maybe when I was young, there are a couple of movies or films on the television where artists, so they had art characters who were so nice to watch. And I fell in love, I think, with those characters on the television. And I always envied to be that person called an artist. And with a group of friends I had as a young person that time, we all loved to be artists. And by that time, we were already calling ourselves fine artists. We didn't really know what it means. And I grew up in a place which was a bit far from the big cities. And we had no access to art. But I had this illusion, which I fell in love with, and I'm happy it carried me through to art.
Oh, wow, that is amazing. That's really cool. And how did you, being a fellow Zimbabwean, how did you convince your parents that you want to be an artist and this is how you want to live your life?
I think because I was so much in love with that hobby and that illusion, my parents, I guess, had no choice but to support me in what I loved and what I was stuck with. And they supported me up to college. And for some reason, they paid the fees. I'm not sure if they knew what I was studying, but they just supported me because that's what I loved to do.
And okay, so now we're going to take a deep dive into your work. So your Instagram bio says, confronting the colonial hangover in Africa, use everyday consumer residue. Can you tell us a little bit about this hangover, or what do you mean by hangover or colonial hangover?
Very interesting question. Yeah. I believe there is a colonial hangover. By that, I mean the colonial administration left a residue in Africa and in African government. I think it's very feasible. And for me as an artist living and working in Africa, I feel it every day that we are so much stuck in our colonial past. And I try really to approach that through my work and through the everyday objects which we use. By objects, of course, I'm talking about consumables, what we use every day in our day-to-day life. It shows very much of a colonial residue.
Okay, that's very interesting. And I absolutely, personally, I get it because, you know, as a fellow Zimbabwean, I totally understand what you're talking about. But I believe that for people that are from outside that have maybe never lived in Africa, they'll never really comprehend what you're trying to, what you mean with colonial hangover. So it's really good that, you know, you share this perspective because then it reaches people in another level. Okay, so what is the process behind your art? How do you come up with your artworks?
My process involves a lot of stages and phases in when I'm making the work. And my work is very much into the process. So I respect the process, and it starts by selecting the materials which I use. So I'm so much interested in the consumer remnants. And with a team scattered around various dumping sites in Harare, we gather and collect various consumables from dumping sites and to bring them to my studio. Also with my small team in the studio, we clean these materials and prepare them for work. If it is computer keys, for instance, it means drilling holes in each side of the key and so on. Sometimes it's such a process to just prepare maybe just one unit. And my work at most involves various units. It might be thousands of units to just make one work. And so there are a lot of stories, there are a lot of narratives which I try to push by each and every stage of my work. For instance, when we are talking about computer keys, how I collect them, how I gather them with the team, we sometimes say we mimic movements by young people in Africa, like the Road March 4 movement, which is quite popular in South Africa. Our students were burning down libraries and destroying, saying they're destroying colonial academia and try to decolonize it. We see that destruction and we try to do it mimically on the computer keyboard, and then we remove the keys, which I use to create my own new narrative, as the students are doing also in pushing for African languages or African narratives and African knowledge systems to be recognized in academia setup. So there is a lot of thinking and narrative, which is at each and every stage of how I prepare and how I make my work.
I understood the element of you gathering the material and creating the material, but at which stage do you then just sit down and then, you know, get to that creative space? Do you first need to have the material in front of you, and then this is when all the magic comes to you, or do you have a different kind of process of getting like the creative to the well, you know, there's the creative side and then there's the side where you gather the material. How does this work?
I guess I would say there's no recipe to this. it can work either way. And sometimes it starts by seeing the material can bring the idea to what I want to do with that material and what brings me. I think there can be ideas which are attached to the materials and how I can use them. And sometimes the idea comes from a research. Especially when I'm researching, when I'm reading, I can come across something very interesting. And I'll think of what possible material I can use to portray the idea. Or sometimes during the work itself, certain ideas can come. And the materials can lead me, or how we weave can lead me to certain ideas. So it's either way. And I don't limit myself to a certain recipe.
Okay. You also mentioned that you have a team. So for you, and also that your material you gather from around different areas in Harare, so what role does the community play for you in the creative process of your work?
Yes. To start with, I would say my studio now is in a community called Mbare. And Mbare is in Harare, it's the hotspot for reuse and repurposing of materials. So for me, I also learn a lot from the community around me, how they use these materials. So my work is all about borrowing from people around me and the periphery neighborhood. And also, I work a lot with people from that community in gathering the materials. I gather with the team, I gather with people. And to be honest with you, some of these people I work with are people who were living in dumping sites, you know, sort of homeless people who were just stuck in dumping sites. And some of them would be looking for maybe plastic material to sell to recycling companies and so on. By the dumping sites, also to explain, these are open fields where the city would collect garbage and just dump it there. So they are just open landfills with the trash. And so I'm talking of groups of people who just roam in those open fields. And I've engaged a lot of them to work with me over the years. And to be specific, I have about 30 people who work for me around Harare in the various dumping sites. And in my studio, I've got a group of about 6 people work every day. So these are more or less full-time people, but sometimes I engage the community in various stages of my work. And also, I'm also positioned in Paris because I also want my work to be accessed by people from my periphery. You know, my studio is very open to people from this neighborhood to engage with my work, to engage with what I do. Yeah, so
that's really cool, because I mean, your work is not only, it doesn't have a message, but it's also empowering people, could be the youth or us Africans, to look at the waste around us and see how there is beauty behind it. But also, I think there's like a message to it when it comes to recycling and sustainability. So that's really impressive. Okay. So now, the next question is, do you feel spiritually connected to each piece of work you create? I ask you this because one of your exhibitions was Witchcraft Rethinking Power. And the one with Kuroi, where you spoke about like where you're, Kuroi, where you're from and what it means. So do you feel kind of connected to the works you create?
Yes, I think a work of art can only be an extension of the artist who's making the work. So there is that connection and it is a very important connection. But maybe to speak a little bit about that body of work which you talked about, witchcraft, rethinking power. You know, that was sort of my first major institutional show when the Craft Contemporary asked me to produce a body of work. And I had to think about a lot of things, like, A, I'm a young artist coming from Africa, called by an American institution to show my work. So I had to challenge a lot of things here, you know, and I had to go at my own terms. A, I had to think carefully about my aesthetic test, which in most of the work from that part of work we are talking about, I had to reference from a group of people called Kore Kore people who use a lot of weaving. And when I was thinking about that, something came into my mind, you know, in Africa today, particularly in Zimbabwe, in Harare, when you think of artifacts or weaved materials, it might be a reed mat, it might be a winnowing basket, and so on. We don't really want to associate with those artifacts because there is a notion of a lot of modern young people think these items, these things are associated with dark forces or with witchcraft and so on. Even a lot of households, we don't want to use clay pots and so on. And that sparked a big idea into me, like, okay, these items, people don't want to associate with them because there is that belief and that notion, which of course was brought by our colonial history, I guess. And so I started to think about a lot of things thinking about that show. And also, as you have mentioned, I come from a place called Karoi, which means little witch in maybe in English. So through the stage, I started to see a lot of very interesting things on how the colonial government in the early 50s to pass a lot of very strong laws against African in scientific innovations and so on, and label them as works of witchcraft. And the same with our African doctors and so on were labeled as witch doctors. So I think that show, in those ways, I use them also only to provoke thought and to challenge Western maybe notions and ways of thinking. And I guess by that, maybe I'm also saying Western science cannot explain a lot of African knowledge systems and sciences. So there is that lack of explanation, which we need to approach today with openness as young people of today. We need to approach certain things with much openness to understand the world around us today. Maybe that's what I'm only saying that show.
So that is very interesting. And also, I think it also depends because, I mean, as a person, if you understand Shona, or if you're from Zimbabwe, this kind of like your pieces, also how you name them, this always has, I would say for local people that understand the context, this always has a different meaning. So it's very interesting when you talk about how you thought about this and the idea behind it. Because for me, as a consumer of your work, how I received it is totally different. So it's very interesting. And thank you for sharing that. Okay. So what is the hardest part of creating your work?
Wow, that's a great question. I guess an artwork is difficult. It's each and every moment because for me, I think artists need to be very conscious of what marks they are putting, what shapes they are making. So every mark I make I'm very conscious of that, and it's difficult to be conscious every time, to be sort of a genius at every moment you're creating. And sometimes we don't stop creating. We take works in our head even when we sleep. So it's difficult all in all. You take work to bed, and I continue to think through everything, and I need to have a watertight idea. And it's difficult sometimes to do that in each and every piece I produce. So at every stage, I'm asking questions at the same time. At every stage, there are obstacles.
Okay, so now we're gonna ask some easier questions, maybe. So you are one of the co-founders of Mbare Art Space, and you already mentioned about how you work in Mbare and how you kind of get ideas from the community that's around you. Can you tell us a little bit more about the space, how it came about and what it is?
I really wanted my thinking to grow beyond the objects we can make. I wanted it to really affect the people, and mostly the people I know, the people I see every day. I guess you know very well that most of these artworks we make are consumed in the West. And we don't really get, the people don't really get to see them here in Zimbabwe. Most works are just, they just go. So I wanted also a lot of other artists to be celebrated here at home. I guess you know also that Zimbabwe has a lot of artists who are doing very well internationally, but at home it doesn't reflect. So that's what started the idea. I wanted this artistic excellence to be seen in Harare, to be felt in Zimbabwe, to leave an impact to Zimbabwean people. So the idea went on to occupy a space which is a sort of old communal beer hall. And these are colonial structures which were built to restrict maybe men from going to town, and they were supposed to access their liquor from the township. And they were liquor licensing given that time. Okay, that's for another day. But I'm saying it's a loaded type structure. It comes with a lot of narrative to it. So we occupied that structure, and the first phase of the project was to reimagine this structure. It's a built beer hall with small sheds inside. And we had to imagine, to reimagine how artists can use that space, possibly to reignite sort of some kind of renewal and regeneration in a township like Mbare. This space is in the center of Mbare, so it's in the center of a neighborhood, a communal neighborhood with people in every street. So this becomes Mbare Art Space, and it's a space for artists. It's a space where I think we can have sort of an incubator where young artists can be trained, can be helped, and can work without much pressure from the market. And it's a space also where we think we'll showcase talent from Zimbabwe and celebrate our own, and also maybe from the diaspora and from other neighboring countries and so on. So it has grown, and I'm happy to say we are having a lot of partners. We are coming through, including a lot of universities, colleges from even Germany. We were working with two universities from Germany, and these are architectural and engineering universities who do what they call design build projects. So they take those projects to Global South. And in this case, they are partnering with us. So they're going to help us come up with nice architectural drawings of this project. So we've already started and the project is going on.
Wow, that is amazing. I personally cannot wait to see it in December when I'm in Harare. So what role does the artist have in society, do you think?
I think in contemporary art, we are even also redefining the role which artists can do. I think from even my project at Mbada Art Space, artists can have more and more a role to take in people from their maybe periphery or from societies which have access to their influence. So I don't know, but from my own perspective, I think as an artist coming from Africa, with a bigger role to play in our societies, and the role beyond just showcasing the objects, but a role to help people in their everyday life, a role to really impact everyday livelihood. Yeah, bring real change to people beyond just showcasing in white tube spaces and so on, but to have impact into.
Also, I mean, I also see it as, especially to the younger generation of artists that are, or of African artists that are based within Africa or the diaspora. I think that your role is also you're telling our stories. Because if you go back in history, some of our ancestors, they used to have cave paintings. So this was how, you know, they would tell stories. Now you're telling the stories of our generations and you're telling it from our perspective. So I think it's really amazing what you're doing with the space and Mbare, but also with your work. Okay, so now I'm going to go into like more personal, well, not really so personal, but like more, kind of personal questions. What has been your most memorable response to a body of work you've created?
I'm thinking. I think with one of my show in the US, I'm trying to think of the theme or the title of the show, or Son of the Soil. So in that body of work, I had a lot of toothbrushes and these kind of everyday materials. You know, there was this kind of response from people who were thinking these were sort of their materials which American people have used and dumped in Africa and in Zimbabwe. So that was very interesting for me because they were thinking that I'm returning trash to America, of which we are a landlocked country, and by that we don't necessarily receive trash, you know, because we are a bit not close to the ocean. So, but that perspective was very interesting, and was very interesting comment to my work that a lot of American people were thinking that I literally, you know, bring trash back to American doorstep and show them what they are doing to the rest of the world.
It's interesting. Yeah. I mean, can I like to go slightly into that? Like, why the name, or why did you call this body of work Son of the Soil?
Son of the Soil, I think, was from that very common chant by a lot of African liberation movements. A lot of those pioneers were calling themselves son of the soil, and they would recognize themselves as son of the soil because soil was very important. A lot of liberation movements fight and went to war for the land. The land issue has been a big question. And by that sort of work, I felt African governments have failed a little bit to address the question of land. And coming from Zimbabwe, you know that we are one of the countries which have tried and which are quite very controversial when it comes to the land issue. So in that sort of work, I touched that, the land issue. And also coming from Karoi, Karoi is a farming area, and we used to have a lot of white communal farmers. So I felt it's a subject which I really relate to me and where I come from. And also the issue of tobacco farming and so on. I come from that background where I've seen transition and change in the use of land and so on. Yeah, it was quite a very interesting part of it.
Yeah, for me, it's also very interesting because, you know, I think of, you know, back like 2006 when all the land related stuff started or controversies started in Zimbabwe, and you know, the with you taking it back and like with the message you said, it's very interesting because for me, when I first saw that body of work, I immediately went to that space. So it's like it really goes to show how amazing your work is, because for everyone, I mean, art, everyone interprets it however they receive it. And I think it's really cool. And for me personally, your work is very emotional, because as a person that's moved away from Zimbabwe, and, you know, I get to live abroad, and then, but then you have all these messages because, I mean, I am still part of that community. So I think it's so cool that you tell these stories, because you never really get to see the stories from the perspective of the people that live there that are not maybe politically active. So I think it's really cool. And I'm always really, you know, when I see your work, I'm always like, you know, I always have a smile on my face, or I get a little bit of a feeling of nostalgia because of the emotions your work evokes in within me. But this is just my personal opinion. What do you like about your work?
Well, just to answer your question, maybe I would say texture. I love textures. When I look at my work, I think the wall factor for me is the textures. And sometimes I feel people only access my work on images. That's a big disfavor. Images don't really, you know, portray my work as they are. Because when you get close to the work, when you see the texture, I guess that's when you really see my work and have a feeling of what it should do to people.
Okay, that's a good one. That's a good one. Okay, so what was the first gallery exhibition or relationship that moved your work into the right context when your work began to be seen?
I think my first big international show was with What If the World Gallery. They are a South African gallery, and I worked with them for a couple of years. They were a very nice gallery. And I'm not sure if I remember the word title of the show, if it wasn't a foreign object. But that was a beautiful show. And that was one of the shows that brought me to the international limelight.
In the early stages of your work, when people began purchasing your work, how did it feel knowing that your work was hanging in a museum or a gallery or someone's home?
I think that's very rewarding for an artist to know that your work has been collected. It brings a lot of confidence when you, especially when you're young, when you're just emerging, to know that there is an audience for what you're making. There are people who are loving your work. But at the same time, it creates this gap. You feel like something is taken away from you. You'd want to have your work with you, when you're still imagining. You'll be in love with your work. But there is a certain point when you know that you are making the work to share with the world for the people to have access to it.
Okay, that's a good one. So what role does arts funding have, especially within the context of creating your art or being able to just focus on your work within the context of a country like Zimbabwe?
We don't have a lot of art funding in Zimbabwe. We seem only to have a culture fund of Zimbabwe Trust. But otherwise, we don't necessarily have specific funding for art. So the alternative funding which we have is sort of NGO funding, which I don't necessarily support. And I wouldn't think artists benefit a lot from NGO funding because it comes with a lot of restrictions and so on. And it's quite a difficult funding. So coming from Zimbabwe, I've not really accessed a lot of funding myself. And I've really made it as a choice that I don't really want that kind of funding. So I've been very much of self-funded. But I would say now, because I have these projects and so on, Bada Space is doing very well from funding. And so sometimes funding can really help projects to grow. But for emerging artists, if you really want to have a voice, I would say funding is not a good idea. It depends. But if there is art funding, I think it's a good thing.
Okay, that's really interesting. Also, what are some of the challenges you have encountered on your personal artistic journey, if you've had any?
A lot of challenges. And, coming also from Zimbabwe, we've been so much disengaged with the rest of the world and for various reasons. And for artists, it has been very difficult. And you can imagine when you want to build a career and we need support of our peers, we need to engage. So that was one of the biggest challenges of my career, how to access the market, for instance, and how to engage. But it takes hard work. Coming from Zimbabwe, it really did take hard work. And gradually, I'm engaging, but still, I feel my peers are doing much better because they're well engaged and they're well positioned. So coming from Africa, I guess, it's one of the challenges, how to engage with the rest of the world.
Okay, but then I mean, at least the good thing about you is that with the access you have been given or influence you have been given, you're also now giving back. For instance, you're one of the judges of the 2021 Art Harare Fair. So going into that, like your art has, as I said, your art has taken you all over the world. What advice would you give an up-and-coming artist, especially young artists based within Africa?
I think I would say it's time for Africa now. There is a good bubble which they can ride on. And the only secret is to work and keep on working. When I was still imagining, I would say we make our fire. And people are going to see the smoke. Sometimes you think people will never discover you. You're so far away. You're in an odd place. But I guess if you keep on making fire, the smoke will be seen.
advice. Okay, so do you have an artist that whose body of work inspires you that you would like which artist, if you have one, or you're just inspired by your surroundings?
I'm so much inspired by my surroundings, but of course I love a lot of artists' work. To just mention, I get influence from painters, from sculptors, painters like Adrian Ghem, from Romania. Adrian is awesome. I love his work. A lot of sculptors, I love their work. And yeah.
Okay. So now we're about to get to the final stages of our questions. What do you hope your artistic legacy will be?
Wow. I think I'm just working, and I hope I would really assist and help a lot of young talent in Zimbabwe and in Africa. And maybe my legacy is a lot of young artists, or rather a generation of artists who emerge out of Zimbabwe through my, you know, help and my assistance.
Oh, wow. Okay, that's really noble of you. Complete the following sentence. I am an artist because?
Because I love art.
Okay, that's a good one. And what, personally, what do you get from art?
From art, the first thing I get is self-gratification. When I complete an artwork, I think I feel so much satisfied. I guess that's the first word which I get. And of course, I'm getting my livelihood from art.
And our final question, if you could have a billboard on, let's say, New York Times Square, and with anything on it, what would it say?
Wow. I don't know. Wow, that's a good one. At the billboard. Oh my God.
Think of it, New York Times Square, everyone's walking around and you have one message for the world. And what would it say? Or it could be a piece of art, or it could be something.
Yeah, because in my head, I'm thinking of a message in possibly maybe warning the world about our everyday residue, how we can maybe manage better our everyday work and be careful about our environment. So if I can manage to find a way to say that, that's what I can put on the billboard.
Okay, that's amazing. That brings us to the end of this episode. Thanks to Moffat for joining us and giving us more insight into you and your work and your inspiration. So thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you very much.
Thank you for tuning into today's episode of The Frame, Conversations with Ianda Fine Art. If you enjoyed today's episode, don't forget to rate and follow The Frame on your podcast streaming platform. Want to find out more about our guest or the show? Check out the show notes or go to www.iandafineart.com. And be sure to share the show with other fellow art lovers around the world.